Ephesians chapter 5, I'm sorry, chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. And Paul writes here, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as man pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be a slave or free. And you masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him." How many of you are required by your job to work tomorrow? And how many of you who work for someone get tomorrow off? How many of you who get a paycheck are thankful for that paycheck? Denise, don't look at John. He's not giving you tomorrow off. Many surveys that have been done says that a lot of people are not satisfied with their current jobs and that there are many who are looking for ways to change. Now, people, according to the surveys, do these for many reasons, but the top two is income and benefits. But there were other aspects also, like a lack of respect. Tennessee Ernie Ford sang a song a long time ago. Some of us know it. Others probably never heard of it. 16 tons and what do you get? Another day older and the deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me because I can't go. So I owe my soul to the company store. One of our problems in life is that we divide everything into secular and sacred categories. We say that over here is the secular and over here is the sacred. We spend our best hours in life in the secular world. We say we really would like to serve God, but we have to spend so much time on our secular job. And you can see that sacred and secular pattern in the Old Testament, but you don't see it in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it says over here is the sacred with its temple and its priest, and over here and everything else is the secular. But in the New Testament, it teaches that we are all priests. It teaches that our body is a temple. It teaches us that God's Holy Spirit lives within each of us and that every day is holy. And that is a very different mindset than secular and sacred. And I want us to hold on to that idea and take a look at slavery. The idea of slavery is disgusting to us. Our nation at one time used people in such a manner. But we believe as a society and as individuals in the greatness of freedom. Personal liberty is at the heart of what our country stands for. So when the Bible speaks about slavery, it doesn't sit well within our understanding. But I would like us to walk through this text together in Ephesians 6 and verses 5 through 9. The idea of bondage to someone, either willingly or forced, goes against so much of what we have been trained to think as Americans. And yet as we read our Bibles, slavery, even among the Jews, existed. In the Roman world, during the time of Christ and after, in the first 3 or 4 centuries or so, conquered people would become the slaves. And it is estimated that between 20 and 25% of the population of the Roman Empire were slaves. And yes, there were some Christians in the New Testament who either owned slaves or were slaves. The two that comes to mind is Philemon and Onesimus, Philemon being the master, Onesimus being the slave. And so I believe it is necessary for us to address the idea that we find here in Ephesians chapter 6. And God speaking through Paul tells how to be a slave owner. Our text speaks to the slave, and the main point that we find is in verses 5 through 7. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by way of eye service or as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with goodwill as to the Lord and not unto men. Contrary to what some people think, work is not evil. In fact, work appears to have been a very good connotation throughout the Bible. So God says to the slaves, work. But let your work be from the heart. A heart that is a slave to Christ first. Do we really have a concept of what it means to be a slave to Christ? To be a slave to Christ is to let go of personal freedoms and serve another. To be a slave to God and to Christ is to let go of our personal desires and serve God. Paul had to write this to these brethren because the Greeks, where Ephesus is, did not understand this concept. Greece was the first republic that the world had ever known, and they believed in individual freedom. And so they did not understand this concept where no one would willingly let go of their own freedom. Now take the idea of service to another and try to translate that into our lives. And the only way that it works for us is to be employed by another person. We work or serve so that we can be rewarded or receive a paycheck. At any point in time, the employer can find a way to get rid of us. And because we don't want to lose our income, we seek to please him. God comes along. And God says, I want you to serve him, not please him, but please me, God. And I'd like to let us run with that thought for just a moment. Paul, Aquila, and Priscilla were not tent makers. Luke was not a physician. Jesus was not a carpenter. I say that because they were not defined by their occupation. We know that Paul and Priscilla and Aquila made tents. We know that Luke was a physician. We know that Jesus in his early life was a carpenter, but they were not defined by their occupation. They were defined by their attributes as Christians. Listen to Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Mark writes here, passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. fishermen. But later on, they would not be defined as fishermen. That was their occupation, but that's not what people remembered them as. That's not who they were identified as. Our lives, every single day, is our ministry. Sometimes it might be in the office. Sometimes it might be visiting someone. Sometimes it might be at school or playing or on vacation. When we work, we cannot separate being a Christian from being a fisherman or a carpenter or a tent maker. Isn't that exactly what Paul meant in Romans 12 and verse 1? I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We must serve. We can serve God every day, in every place, with every aspect of who we are. We do this because we want to please our God. I know you might be thinking, you have no idea the people I have to work with. And you'd be right. I'd have no idea. But God does. God knows who you work with. He knows the type of people they are. You know, but their hearts are not immune from being pierced by your actions. Period. If we can substitute the word worker for slave in Ephesians 6, then we need to live those words no matter who we are. We cannot separate our secular life from our spiritual life. We can't. We are Christians no matter where we are. There was a young man who was taken into captivity, a famous young man by the name of Daniel. He was a slave. Now, he might have been placed in a good position, but no matter how you looked at it, Daniel was a slave. And Daniel never wavered in his devotion to God, and it got him in trouble. Because there were a group of men in Daniel chapter 6 that tried to find a way of trapping Daniel, and they figured we'll use his religion against him and had Darius make a decree. And no one can worship anybody but Darius. And there's Daniel, in his prayers with his windows open, being overheard by these men. And of course, much to the king's anguish, in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel was thrown in the lion's den as punishment for his job. And of course, that meant that Daniel was going to be eaten by the lions. The king was very much distressed by these actions because he loved Daniel so much. The next day, after Daniel was thrown in the pit, the king goes out, and I'd like you to hear the words that the king said in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 20. And as he came near the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, a servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Even our children know the rest of this account. And of course, all those men that connived ended up visiting the lions, and they were able to take with them their families and stuff, and they went to the zoo and never came back. Daniel worked in a pagan country for a pagan king. And the one thing that pagan king knew about Daniel is that Daniel served God continually. Do your fellow workers know about this? Does your boss know about you? Is your work life so worthy of examination that what they see is you serving God first and therefore work hard to serve your company? There's a story I had told a couple of times of a young man. It was just before he was getting ready to go off to college. He was at services and the preacher had gone to him and was trying to warn him about college life. And the young man, who was very faithful in the church in that time growing up, told the preacher, "Don't worry, I'll be fine." And the preacher did warn him that he wasn't going to find very many friends and that they would turn their back on him because of who he was. And so after the first semester, the young man came home for the break, and the preacher went up to him and asked him how college was, and the young man said, "It's great." He says, "I've got so many friends." The preacher looked at him and he said, "You got so many friends. And they know you're a Christian, right?" He said, "Oh, no, I didn't tell them that." See, when we live our lives, everyone, if we live according to pleasing God instead of self, instead of man, they'll know exactly who we are. We never have to say it because they will see it. They will see it. God's teachings here is what we call vocational ministry. Our lives are lived so that people will want to know about us. We don't have to brag. We don't have to be self-righteous. We simply have to live to please God and do His will. Are we living to please God? Or are we living to please man? Or are we living to please self? That is the question. If you are not a child of God tonight, we want to give you that opportunity tonight to obey the gospel, to become an heir in heaven, to have you a place, to be able to spend eternity with our Creator and with His Son who sacrificed His life for us. Through repentance and confession and baptism, you can join a happy throng. You'll have joy in your heart. You will know peace where peace will fail to find you any other way. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you haven't been living for God's will. Maybe you've been a slave to self and a slave to ambition and a slave to the world. We can't separate the secular and the sacred, but we can live in the secular by being sacred. And everyone else will see it. If anyone has a need, we pray that you'll come. Together we stand and we sing.